You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Revolution. You found us again. Hey, thanks for doing that. Appreciate that. We've got a banger of an episode. And we'd like to take on big issues, right? We like to tackle big issues here on the Rational Revolution. If you like to hear other issues that we've talked about, they say I have to plug the website and the podcast and such. Radio Rookie over here. So everything is available online. And wherever you get your podcast, the best place is going to be obviously civicmedia.us. Find us and listen away to your heart's content. Fall asleep to me. I get it. That's fine. But we are going to talk about today the big issue, the issue that has divided the United States of America for a very, very long time. And normally when I do the show, I give my thoughts at the end of the show. And what I'm going to do is I'm kind of going to take some time to give my thoughts at the top of the show, because we are talking about abortion and I want to set up where we're going to go. Okay. I am not a medical person. You're going to hear from our guest because they're amazing. But I want to set the groundwork for this discussion, because I think that this understanding, this set of facts, you know, what do they say? You're entitled to your own opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. Knowing this foundation is so important to everything else that we're going to set up over this episode. Okay. Here's the fact that I'm going to talk about. The United States of America, the public opinion of the people of America did not really care about abortion up until the late 1970s and early 1980s. Public opinion, they didn't, it was like a speed limit. They were like, okay, sure. And as a matter of fact, more people had a negative opinion now than they did. I think it was under 20% of people in the United States had an opinion at all, a strong opinion against. Overwhelmingly, abortion and a women's right to choose was supported. And it wasn't until the late 1970s and early 1980s when this became a political issue. It was mega pastor and major league a-hole. Can I say that on radio? I don't know if I can. We have to bleep that out. Pastor Jerry Falwell. I just said a disparaging comment about a pastor, but I think God would be like, I'll allow it. I'll allow that for that guy. And what he did was, he wanted to get himself and his coalition some power. And I can say this as a former Republican. What he did is what Republicans do. And when they want to gain themselves some power and gain themselves some influence, they find someone to punch. And they find someone to punch who really can't punch back, who's an easy target. You look at this past election and how they punched trans people and immigrants and people of color. That's what they do. And so in the case of Jerry Falwell and our dear friend Phyllis Schlafly, whose name is difficult to pronounce, and she's an awful person as well, they found two issues in the late 1970s and early 80s, and they manufactured them. They created this issue. There was no outrage with the American people. And they said, here, be pissed off at this. And to their credit, they did a magnificent job of pissing people off. Those two issues were prayer in schools and abortion rights. And so if you go through the history of where the country was, you can pick it up in the late 60s and early 70s. And there was a movement by not just women, but by people in the United States to say, hey, people are getting hurt because we need to have this medical care. People are going across state lines. People are going to different countries. This is healthcare. And it should be allowed, right? Alaska, if you're, or Hawaii, excuse me, if you're scoring at home, Hawaii was the first state to allow that. And Alaska, Hawaii, New York, Washington, they repealed all of their anti-abortion statutes, and it became a groundswell of movement, kind of like one that we saw with marriage equality. And it was just common sense. Women are getting hurt because they're seeking these procedures elsewhere. Let's allow it. Other countries had it. And then in 1973, Roe v. Wade was decided correctly, and boom. And public opinion solidly supported a women's right to choose, like overwhelmingly supported. And then we saw Phyllis Schlafly and Pastor Bleeple, Jerry Falwell, and then he organized that moral majority to get people really ticked off and all red and upset, and because he perceived this as the decay of the nation's morality, which is weird because of, you know, the issues that he had and then his son had, and, you know, forget about that. But the fact is, the opinion on abortion was overwhelmingly supported by the United States of America. It was. And it wasn't a hot button issue. It wasn't controversial. It wasn't something that divided people, because it just was. It was common sense. Currently, well over 50% of people in the United States, well over 60% of people in the United States say that abortion should be legal in most or all cases. 36% say it should be illegal. Again, that's up from under 20% of people in the late 70s and early 80s. This was an issue that was manufactured by the Christian right to gain political power, political prowess, and that's what it was. And then you had 12 years of presidents from Ronald Reagan to George H.W. Bush in the bully pulpit of the Oval Office berating women's rights, saying it should be chipped away left and right. Every chance they got, they talked about this issue. They talked about this issue until we have people like André Jacques, who makes it there, everything about them. And that's how we got to where we are. And I want people to understand that everything else that we talk about here has to start with the understanding that this was not a controversial issue until the Christian right made it so. We have to start there. My guest knows a thing or two about this. She's a badass. She's a doctor. She was here last week, but we were talking after the show, and we said, we got to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here. Welcome back. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yes. And we're going to talk about your news that we've got here on our civic media.
News?
We'll probably talk about that in the next segment. All right. Well, I don't know. How much time we got, Connor? Can we talk about it now?
Yeah, I mean, you got about 5 minutes.
You got about 5 minutes. All right. So yeah, we got time. What have you been doing? I wanted to talk about this last week, but I was embargoed because they gave the exclusive. I didn't care about an exclusive. I just want to talk about it, darn it.
I know. You know, that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Right? Like you said at the opening, you're not a radio guy.
No.
I'm not a radio gal. We're here because we have something important to say. And as it turns out, people want to have this conversation with us.
Yes.
So that's the only reason we're here. We don't have an agenda to push. We want people to talk about things that need to be discussed. And we also recognize, and this is the theme of your show, and I absolutely love it, that different opinions are okay.
Yeah.
We still have to have that conversation. We still have to find common ground, and we have to know how to do it in a respectful and positive and constructive way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you've got something that you've been working on.
Yeah, we've got the Dr. Kristen Lyerly
show. Holy cow, talk about that.
It's the craziest thing.
How did that come up? Todd the God.
You know, I've been doing guest spots. I've co-hosted with Pat Kreitlow. It is so different doing a guest spot than hosting your own show.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it requires a different skill set. So it's I'm still learning. I think it's all going to be, life is a learning process. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it's surreal to look at the logo and see my name.
That is a nice logo, by the way.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah,
that is pretty cool. Didn't Jesse do a great job?
Yes, yeah. It looks nice.
Yeah, it's wild. So initially I thought, well, we should talk about healthcare and politics. And, you know, those are the things, that's kind of where I live at that intersection. But then Todd said, no, I think we need to make it your show so that you can talk about lots of different things. Because really, I love Northeastern Wisconsin. You know, I grew up in Kaukauna. Yep. I used to get super excited growing up when I would hear them talk about Kaukauna on the news or on the radio. Like that, I'd be like,
oh my gosh, the
galloping ghost.
Yes.
So it really, it's wild when I look at the logo and see my name and think, wow, this is what I'm doing now. But it also feels like such an incredible opportunity. You know, the first week, this weekend that we're airing, I'm having a discussion with Emily Cephos, Appleton's own Emily Cephos.
Cool.
Yes, she's a teacher. She's a mom. She's an organizer. She's doing some really beautiful things, pulling people together, helping them find their voices. Yeah, she is. Talk about community. Emily Cephos is community. So we're talking about the Supreme Court race and what that means for the future of Wisconsin. And then next week, we're talking with Kelly Peterson, who's a local. She's a three-time Emmy Award-winning journalist. And she brought her friend Lana Nyland, who is the CEO and founder of an organization called Ukrainian Patriot. She lives in Kyiv, which we call Kyiv, but actually the way you say
it's
is Kyiv.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Okay.
I learned something new. I learned so many new things when we taped today.
Bet.
She's on the front lines. She's bringing people supplies and offering hope and teaching them dance and music. And we think of Ukraine as this, like, it is war-torn.
Yeah.
But there's so much beauty and culture there. And so Lana shared a lot of that with us. And Kelly, the two of them are working on a documentary. So when that comes out, probably next year, we'll get a showing going.
A documentary fiend. I love that.
Oh, me too.
Well, and so, like, what's funny and is... our congressman, who can't be bothered to talk to, you must have, I hate to say the word triggered, you know, or snowflake. We could say that. Because just at the mere announcement of you having a microphone, he said, is your desperate attempt to stay relevant.
Yeah.
How cute, how, you know. oh, Tony. Oh.
Yeah.
What a guy.
I, you know, I'm just doing this for fun, Mark. I like hanging out with you.
Rent free in the guy's head.
This is a public invitation. If Tony Weed wants to come on my show, I would love to have that conversation.
Either show, baby.
Yeah.
Come on. We could do a tag town hall with him.
That would be super fun.
Oh, my gosh.
We are having a town hall.
We are. We'll talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Uh-huh.
On the other side of the break, I got Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We're going to talk. This is a big show. Big topics, so stick around. You're not going to want to miss this. So see you on the other side. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we'd all love to see the plan. You asked me for.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've got Mark Becker here in the Rational Revolution with my esteemed colleague now. And yes.
Isn't that crazy?
My colleague's a doctor. I've made it, Mom. You
know? Can I be your own personal gynecologist?
Yes, absolutely. Colleague and I have a gynecologist.
Con, I can get you too if you want.
Sign me up.
Yeah, sweet. Right on. This is great. What a banner day. Mom, I got a gynecologist. Sorry, that threw me a bit. That's great.
Can we go back to what you were talking about earlier in the opening?
Yeah.
How you talked about Jerry Falwell, but let's not forget that it wasn't just Jerry Falwell.
Yeah.
The origin of it, you may not know this, was this brilliant political strategist from Wisconsin whose name is Paul Weyrich.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who saw that in the Northeast, like in the Massachusetts area, Catholics voted one issue, and it was abortion.
Yeah.
And he recognized that they could turn it into a moral issue and make it a huge, you know, tie moral and political together, because they had seen it before with schools.
Yeah.
So it was a huge initiative, coalition building, and it was all about consolidating power with them and taking it away from us.
Yep. Well, and that's what's so unique about this particular issue is that, I mean, it's lasted for what, 40 some years.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it is a manufactured issue. It is. And they've used this to their benefit for decades. They've elected presidents over this issue. They've flipped.
I mean, Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter was an evangelical pastor.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan, who signed the most liberal abortion bill in California when he was the governor, then came in all anti-abortion, and they ended up beating up this like truly religious, faithful man over politics.
Right. Is it wild?
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I don't have notes other than a list of questions for this, because there's so much to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
And there's what I want people to do is have some like a baseline of knowledge of, okay, if I get into it with someone about this issue,
mm-hmm.
what do we say? What are some issues of like, how can I combat, you know, well, there's a potential for human life, or how can I combat all of those things? And so I think understanding that first foundation of this is a manufactured crisis
mm-hmm.
by the right. That's a great place to start.
Yes, and I think it's important for me to say that I'm approaching this like a doctor, because this is a medical issue, and I'm going to use medical terms.
Yes.
And some of them might sound a little spicy, and that is just, that's all part of it.
Well, I have a gynecologist now, so that's fine. Spicy's okay.
It's not meant to be spicy. It's accurate.
Right.
And you know, that's one of the things about this topic, because they, on that side, on the anti-choice side, they like to use terms that are imprecise and not medical.
Yes.
They like to pluck at our heartstrings and make us feel uncomfortable. And, you know, I do that. So if I have a patient who comes in and she has a desired pregnancy, we do an early ultrasound, maybe she's 7 weeks. When I'm doing the ultrasound, if we can see what would medically be called an embryo with cardiac activity, I say, there's your baby.
Yeah.
It's not a baby. It's an embryo.
Right.
But I say baby because I'm creating that feeling, that emotion, and that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're being accurate, which is how laws should be written in medical terminology and legal terminology, not feels.
Right.
It's an embryo with cardiac activity, not a baby with a heartbeat.
Right. Okay. Right. On the report, that's probably what it says, not this is the baby.
Right.
Right. And I think so often, and I say punching bag, you know, but my punching bag on this issue is André Jacques.
Yeah.
Because I always say that I don't want a discussion about my wife and her health to be between my wife, her doctor, and André Jacques.
Mm-hmm.
I want it between my wife and their doctor. And it's very apparent that even if some of these words are spicy, André Jacques has never had a conversation about those types of things. And it very much shows. And not just André Jacques, but how many men on the right
mm-hmm.
have no empathy, no understanding, no baseline of knowledge of, like, you walk into an appointment with a women's doctor, this crap is talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't sugarcoat things. Like, this is reality.
Right.
Let's talk about real things.
And I 100% respect André Jacques' wife's decision to do what she wants to do with her body. And I'm sure he is part of that decision making.
I'm sure he is.
Which, you know, that is whatever works in their dyad.
Yes.
For me as a doctor, great. But I went to his listening session last week.
How was that?
And we didn't talk about abortion. We talked about postpartum Medicaid extension. So Wisconsin is the only state amongst all 50 states that takes insurance, that takes health care away from women when they're 2 months postpartum. We know that the majority of women who die related to their pregnancy, that happens in the postpartum period.
Yeah.
And we know that 80% of these deaths are preventable. And he is one of the people who has not sponsored the postpartum Medicaid extension bill that was introduced by Republicans, is being sold around the state by Republicans. It's bipartisan. It's bicameral. It has overwhelming support, but he's one of the people who's not on it. So tell me that you care about life if you are not willing to save mothers, postpartum mothers' lives.
How long does it take after the birth of a child for a woman's body to recover from that?
It takes fully a year for full recovery.
So not 2 months.
Not 2 months. I've had lawmakers say to me, what's the problem? The baby is out. The pregnancy is over. And, you know, it's men.
Yeah, right.
Because their bodies, they can't imagine. And yeah, the baby is out and all they're thinking about is the baby. But, you know, we bleed for weeks afterwards. Our breasts are leaking and producing milk, and they're big and they're uncomfortable. And we're tethered to these babies if we're breastfeeding. Every 1 to 3 hours, we are up nursing these babies. We are completely devoted to, if we have the luxury to not be at work, we are completely devoted to the care of these infants. So the postpartum period, your body is changing a lot. Your cardiovascular system during pregnancy, you put on a third more blood volume. Your heart is working so much harder. Your body changes completely during that time and very rapidly in the immediate postpartum period.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get back to normal, how long are you breastfeeding? You know, and your joints are much looser. So you may notice that you've got much more flexibility. You can't run and exercise the way that you did before you got pregnant. There are so many changes that we don't even think about. We don't talk about. But they're real.
Well, I wish we did talk about it because, you know, as guys, it's like, I mean, I adore my wife. If something's wrong, I want her to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would imagine that 2 months, it's not enough.
Mm-mm.
That's not enough at all. And I think it's...
And all of the psychological stuff, you know,
the
lack of sleep and the depression and anxiety that go along with it.
And your body's different and I look different and, oh my God, do people see me? And they say, oh, yes, it's heartbreaking as someone to not, you know, to see that from the sidelines. It's horrific that we don't do the right thing. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about some of these arguments that we have in our debates about, you know, pro-life and not pro-life and all that stuff. We got the expert, Dr. Kristen Lierley. We'll see you back in a little bit. Revolution. You've got Mark Becker. I'm your host. And with my gynecologist, Dr. Kristen Lierley here.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I want to talk about the issues that we see. I remember driving down a rural highway, going to my grandma's house, and I would see billboards and signs about abortion stops a beating heart and life begins at conception and all of this stuff. I think there is one. I live in Pulaski. We were driving around town and I saw a brand new billboard, which is really sad because like it used to have a face of Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump as you're going into town. And now it's like life begins at conception. And I was like,
well, let's talk about that. What is conception?
That is the moment that the two arrive at each other and they form the embryo.
Sperm and egg, right?
Sperm and egg.
Okay. That's not a medical term.
Okay.
We would call that fertilization.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
So what happens if a sperm and egg come together and they form a fertilized egg? And then in the whole process of a woman's menstrual cycle, the egg doesn't implant.
Right.
This happens 50% of the time.
Okay. Wow.
So 50% of those fertilized eggs, conception actually just washes out in your menses and you don't even know.
Huh.
So is that an abortion?
No.
If life begins at conception.
Right. Right.
So does it begin at implantation then?
I don't know.
That's not conception.
Right. It is not.
So.
Do you have Andre's number? we could give him a call.
I'll further complicate it. Our 20-week abortion ban here in Wisconsin is a post. It's dated by post-fertilization age.
Well, okay.
The only time that we really know when fertilization age, that's not a medical term. So the only time we know when fertilization happens is when it happens in a petri dish.
Okay, sure.
So IVF.
Right.
But if you're just doing it the old-fashioned way, you have no idea. You know, you could get pregnant within 30 minutes or it could be 3 days later.
Right.
So when exactly is post-fertilization age?
Yeah, you have no idea.
And why is the law written like that when it could actually be written with true medical terms for precision?
Right. So, yeah, so that is not, that's not accurate.
Mm-mm.
That's, yeah, okay. So when they say, you know, life begins at conception, I know when we were debating, and I see some of the debates that were coming in states about fetal vitality.
Mm-hmm. Viability.
Viability, thank you.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm not the, you know.
That's why we're here. We're having this conversation. Most people don't know, so you're asking, like, real questions.
Right.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, since, you know, in the post-Roe world, a lot of the more red states would say, okay, I suppose they would do like their 5 weeks, which is ridiculous. And some women don't even know that they're pregnant.
Right. Well, 5 weeks.
That's criminal, by the way. Like, that's not okay.
5 weeks is actually only 3 weeks. Because you date it back to the first day of your last menstrual period.
Right.
And you don't even ovulate. If you have a normal cycle, you don't even ovulate for 2 weeks after that. So those first 2 weeks, there's no pregnancy.
Right.
So, and then it's another 2 weeks until you miss a period.
Right.
Assuming, again, that your periods are normal. So you may be 4 weeks pregnant and just have a sense that something's wrong. Maybe 5 weeks. But at that point, if you live in a state like Georgia.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah. And then they call it a heartbeat ban. There's no heart there. There are a couple cells that pulsate that will eventually turn into a heart. But at that point, there's no heartbeat. This is a very early embryo. If you look at it under a microscope, even, it's just like a little sack with a little, almost like a grain of rice.
Right. I think, what is it, at 10 weeks, they do that ultrasound and you can kind of hear, is that what it is, the 10-week thing?
When you can hear the heart, when you can see a heartbeat. See, this is how I would talk to my patients.
Right.
So it depends. Often at 6 or 7 weeks, that early, maybe even as early as late 5th week. And we often date pregnancies based on how big the embryo is at that point. That's actually the most accurate way to date a pregnancy because, again, we don't know when conception occurs.
Right.
We don't know when that fertilization piece happens. But the real ultrasound that is very, very important happens around 20 weeks.
Okay.
That's when we can see
most
of the organs are formed. We can tell, are there issues with, a lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
Think about it. You go from having a sperm and an egg to it fertilizes, and then there's all that division. Think back to biology class. So all of, like, millions of cells have to divide, and everything has to go right.
Yep.
And if anything happens early in the process, really bad things can happen. And usually it's right around that 20-week mark, and it's typically with a pregnancy that is desired that we find out that there's a problem with the baby's kidneys or a problem with the heart or the brain where either the baby won't survive or will be profoundly affected. And that's when people really have a hard time. These are desired pregnancies. And now they're faced with a reality that they weren't expecting, a future that they don't want.
Yep.
And they have very little time to be able to make a decision. It's overwhelming.
So I had one of those. I didn't, but we did.
Yeah.
We did. And that gave me a perspective because I, you know, coming from the outside, it didn't happen to me. I went to all of my wife's appointments because I wanted to be, I think I maybe missed one, but I wanted to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there were times where I got kicked out of it, which is fine, but I wanted to be there for her. And I was there when they said, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And that sucked. My wife is such a strong person. Like I am an emotional wreck. Like all the time. No, but seeing, and that happened before 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that. I mean, at 20 weeks, you have a name picked out mm-hmm. a lot of times. If it's a, like, and so there's so much venom mm-hmm. that surrounds something that is late term.
Yeah, late term isn't even a term that we
use. It's
use.
Not even, right. And yeah. so, but then like to come back to it, there's so much, I don't wish that on anybody, but going through that gives a perspective that so many people lack.
Yeah.
I think.
There's shame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They hate, when you hear politicians say, Democrats want abortion yeah. up
on
until
demand.
The time of birth and sometimes after. Yeah. Every time I hear that, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But people believe that.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to be really clear. That does not happen. Especially like abortions after birth. That is murder. So that
right,
doesn't happen.
Right, right.
I've heard James Lankford, a senator out of Oklahoma, say, well, they just deliver the baby and then just set it on a table. But that does not ever, ever happen. And even if we know that, you know, some people choose to continue these pregnancies that they know will not survive. And that is an absolutely yeah. appropriate choice if that's the right thing for you. In those situations, we bring in social workers, high-risk pregnancy doctors, like you name it. We've got an entire team of people who are laser-focused on these people and their outcome. And when that baby comes out, we wrap the baby and we give the baby to her parents and they hold that baby until she dies. They care for her in the best, most loving way they can.
That's got to be tough for a doctor.
It's really hard, but it's also incredibly satisfying to know that I can help to ease their pain and it pulls us together. The patients that I have had these experiences with, I am forever connected with. And I know some of you are listening. I can't explain it. Well, you've been through it, Mark. I mean, you know, if somebody can be there for you and help, it's not always joyful by far, but those times when we really need each other, that's what makes it worth it for me. And that's why I do all of this.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't have to do any of this.
Right.
I could just work a lot and make a lot of money and golf, but I choose to do this instead because I want people to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I remember that time like it was yesterday. I can't imagine what my wife thinks. And she's a very strong person and is closed with a lot of those feelings. That was hard.
Yeah.
It was. And, you know, that's why Gabrielle's got a lot of rainbow stuff. Our little daughter.
You know? To hear it from your perspective, though, I think is really valuable because people think about the woman. And it obviously, it affects the woman. It affects our bodies because it's us. But it affects families.
Yeah.
It affects you. It affects your other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People break up. Families break up over situations like this if they're not handled well
because
they're so painful and there are so many emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is another really important point. This is another argument that I hear. Women who get abortions are psychologically damaged. Not true.
It's no.
It is. For some people,
oh, God,
yes. I mean, there's always an exception, but there was an incredible study done called the Turnaround Study where they looked at people who were denied abortion care and compared them with women who got abortions. And women who have had an abortion are not more likely to have depression or anxiety than those who were denied. And in fact, 95% of women who have had abortions report that it was the right decision for them, even looking back 5 years, 95%. So regret, I'm sure people have it, but most people don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think it's also like people, because of politics, because of, you know, Tammy Baldwin and her opponent being on stage and them saying about Tammy Baldwin, oh, you're fine with them taking out a baby and just killing it on the table.
I just want to say, shut up.
Right.
What is wrong with you?
Oh my God. And so, and like, and like, this is the context that I want to put a late term, which is, by the way, less than 1%.
Yeah. Happen after 20 weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is in that situation. It's a wanted pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's they have a nursery. They have names. Everybody, their family knows, their friends know. And then something happens catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
That is a your child is going to suffer, and they choose not to go with the pregnancy because they don't want the suffering. Mm-hmm. Or the wife is going to have an issue. And like,
those are the worst.
Oh my God.
Those are the worst because women feel like my body is failing me and my baby isn't going to live because of me.
Right. And like I told my wife, I said, I'm picking you, honey.
Yeah.
If something would happen, I'm picking you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have a choice. The mother doesn't survive, the baby doesn't survive either.
And like, but to have such disrespect for that situation is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And to mold the entire argument of why we shouldn't have abortion when 93% of them happen between before 8 weeks, 10 weeks?
Super early.
Super early.
Yeah.
And then to make it all about the less than 1% of the cases that it actually happened.
That's because those are the things that get people's attention.
Right.
People can actually visualize a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, think about the economic consequences. I mean, women who are denied an abortion are four times greater. The odds are four times greater that they will live below the federal poverty level. Mm. Yeah. They are less likely to have aspirational life plans for the coming year. Mm. They're more likely to stay in an abusive relationship. And there are so many reasons, so many bad things that happen to women who are denied abortion care. And it's happening all over the country in these states that have abortion bans where women just can't get the care that they need. They're three times more likely to die, Mark, to die than in states where they can get the care that they need.
Yeah. Well, and the whole idea behind Roe v. Wade was not to have abortions. It's to provide health care to women who were dying.
If we could have health care, if we could get contraception and education and information and prevent unwanted pregnancies and manage people with respect and evidence and facts according to their own values and principles, that would be ideal. That's my dream world.
Yeah.
But instead, we've got this top down, you can have this or you can't have this. And guess what? Everybody who has privilege can get whatever they want.
Yeah.
So these lawmakers, these people with money, they can go wherever they need. Right. When they need an abortion, they can get it. You know who can't get it? You.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then they want to, they want to lock up the people that are bringing people across state lines to have the procedure that you won't allow them to have it within the state. It's ridiculous. And I'm having a hard time not saying banned words on the radio. We got Kristen Lierley, and I'm Mark Becker on the Rational Revolution. We're going to continue this discussion after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
That's who wrote that song, not the city. I like the city too. But anyway, so we got...
he says wearing his Red Sox hat.
We got the Rational Revolution. We've got Dr. Kristen Lierley and me, Mark Becker. We are talking about the big topic of abortion. And we were talking on the other side about, you know, the idea about late term versus all of this stuff. And one of the things that also is brought up is, well, these things are, they're not safe for the mother. We have all... Yeah, women just being, you know, brutally maimed during these procedures. Does that happen?
Tell me, please, GOP leaders who are saying this. All of them.
Yeah.
Like, tell me how unsafe it is. And, like, I'd like to have that conversation with you.
Yeah.
Because the truth is that it's incredibly safe. Actually, having an abortion is much safer than having a baby.
Yeah, well,
17 times safer than having an actual pregnancy is hard on your body.
Yeah.
There are lots of things that can happen. And the less healthy we get as a population, we are not healthy, but as a population, blood pressure issues, diabetes, I mean, you name it, the more chances there are that we as the women could have issues. But also, you know, we're having babies later in life, so our babies are having more problems. Here's the thing that really gets me about the GOP, though. They're like, oh, we're going to take care of you. We want you to be safe. We protect the babies and the kids. Do they? Do you really see them actually stepping up for the kids? Because here's what I see. I see them touting crisis pregnancy centers, which are those like a pregnant, call 1-800-PREGNANCY. Yeah. So you go to that place and that place performs a sham ultrasound on you.
Yeah.
And they offer you some options and free diapers, but they don't offer you abortion as an option.
Right.
And this is a clinic that's not a clinic. It is not a healthcare clinic. They are not licensed. They don't have to be licensed. They are often federally or state funded. And they don't have to protect your privacy. They don't have to adhere to HIPAA. So people go to these places thinking that they're a clinic because they look like a clinic on the outside, and they get sham care.
Right.
And then they show up in my clinic with an ultrasound of their bladder that they think is their uterus because that's what they've been shown. And I'm like, okay, here's the information that you need. I mean, it is, it's dumbfounding. And when I look at the outcomes for children, like the other children in the family or the children born to women who are denied an abortion, the outcomes long-term for these kids are worse. Yeah. They show worse child development. They are more likely to live below the federal poverty line. They are maternal bonding. There are so many issues that go along with being the child of someone who was denied the abortion that they wanted.
Right.
So it's not like an oil change. You know, you just drive across the border and you get your oil change and you come back home and everything's fine. These are decisions that affect the trajectory of our lives. And that's why they have to be handled with care, with evidence, and allowing patients to have the autonomy to make their own decisions about their own bodies.
Right. Well, and you know, one of the things that, and it, like, I'm not a stupid person, but some of these things. I mean, so I was hit with a ton of bricks when I went to one of the appointments, and I don't know what was said or something, but the doctor looked at me and was like, this is a major medical procedure. Like, this is a major medical thing that will have, like having a child, birth. And I didn't think of like the complications that could happen.
And you shouldn't have to.
Well, and they're, but they're like, this is funny. They're like, oh yeah, this is a borderline geriatric pregnancy. And I'm like, bro, she's 34. Okay. Like, come on. My wife went in the car. She's like, geriatric.
Women
what?
Do not like that term. Oh, that God. Is the term.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I got the term right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's reframing, and it's having that perspective that I think so many of the guys, especially in the GOP, do not have.
Well, they think that every birth is joyful. Like, oh, you know, the baby comes out, there's light, and there's crying, you spank the baby. We don't do that, actually. I threaten sometimes, depending on how things are going. Every birth that I attend, I am constantly thinking, and actually every pregnancy that I take care of, I'm constantly thinking about, okay, what's her blood pressure? What is she telling me? Is there a problem brewing here? What are the risk factors? But especially the births, because so much happens in that short period of time, and things could go south really quickly.
It is a whirlwind.
But I don't want my patient to feel that.
No.
I want her to be enjoying it and to appreciate the smell of the essential oils in the room and the music and the support and the pushing and so all of that. So I'm trying to manage her experience while I'm watching for all of the other things.
Right.
Yeah. Anything could go wrong at any time. Some of the most normal births I've attended have been some of the most challenging outcomes.
Well, and what's frustrating is so many of the arguments against is, well, because Jesus, you know, well, because, you know, Jerry Falwell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on religion.
Mm, yeah.
And that's, I grew up in a very Catholic household.
Me too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to have the argument of we should take away health care from women because the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say that.
It seems to me that in the Catholic Church, and there have been a lot of the men who have written about the Catholic stance on abortion, have had a lot of like variations about what's okay and what's not okay over time, like a lot of different opinions. But I don't think it's actually about abortion. I think it's about having sex without the intent to procreate.
Oh, yes.
And in fact, in the past, the penalties for abortion were not as bad as the penalties for anal and oral sex.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so hey, Catholics, are you listening?
Right, because it's like, you know, when we taught in as a Catholic, like, oh, you're gonna You're going to touch yourself. Oh, well, you're not doing that because you want a baby. Oh, you're a piece of crap. You're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
It is. But importantly, and there are a lot of us who are Catholics here, and by the way, most Catholics think that abortion should be legal for all or most in most situations.
Yes.
But that's just Catholics. Baptists say it's okay if the mother's life is in danger. The UCC and Jewish folks support few or no exceptions. Protestants are somewhere in the middle. So how do we as a society say this is what everybody should do when we have lots of different faiths here?
Yeah.
And our faith traditions have different opinions about this. So that to me underscores that even if religion is the driving factor here, we still have to let people make their own personal decisions here based on the things that they care about.
Well, and never before, but so often in this country, there is an issue that the overwhelming amount of the American public supports it.
Yeah.
And yet there's one side that wants us to go way back and regress from marriage equality, abortion, all this. The American people agree with this.
Yeah. Overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly. This should not be a controversial issue.
No.
We could do a part two and a part three on this.
Let's keep talking.
Oh, my God. I know. And this is something that we have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because this should not be a political issue.
And please have these conversations in your communities and with your friends and family. They're hard. But I bet if you start the conversation, I bet folks will want to continue it.
Yes, I agree with that. On behalf of my gynecologist, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, congratulations on the show. So happy to have you.
Thank you, my friend.
This is The Rational Revolution. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.